Amen. Hallelujah. All right, take your Bibles tonight, turn to Revelation chapter 6. I didn't stay up to watch the election last night. I went to bed. I just went on to bed. And I heard them screaming around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. Woke me up, and they were all screaming in there. Jesse was screaming, and Josh and my wife and all that
she
stuff.
She wasn't screaming. She was telling us to shut up.
She was, oh, okay.
She was looking out for you.
Yeah, I was sleeping. I went to bed. I, you know, trust the Lord. Whatever happens, happens, you know. And
no, you told us Hillary was going to win.
Yeah, I did say that. I'm glad I was wrong. I can admit I was wrong. Hallelujah. I repent. Sackcloth and ashes, man. I told you a guy called me up one time. He said, could that be the rapture if he gets voted in? And I said, what? I said, no. He says, you know, in the Bible it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says in the last trump. I said, hadn't even been the first one yet. So everybody's trying to figure out, you know, a formula for the Lord to come back. You know, the dates, the time. And Jesus said, no man knows the day or an hour. And but if you could figure it out, that'd be something. But I don't think anybody, a lot of people's tried. Who was it, that guy just a while back that claimed that the end of the world was going to be a certain time?
Howard Camping,
yeah. He claimed the end of the world was going to be a certain time. And people sold their houses, and I mean, they did everything. They did all that stuff and prepared for it, and it didn't happen. And then he says, oh, I miscalculated. Let me go, and he gave another date, and that was wrong. And a lot of people try to calculate when the Lord's coming back, but I know it's getting close. I know that. And maybe Trump is, you know, stop some of the, or maybe prolong some of the evil that might happen to America. But eventually it's going to come. I'm not saying that, I mean, once the rapture takes place, we're out of here. They've already got the, it messed up Obama's plans, because I got pictures of Obama and the Prime Minister of Canada and Mexico, and they call them three amigos, and they were already planning on the open borders, and there would be one country in a sense. And that's what they're planning. And Hillary, I didn't know this. Jack Patterson called me the other day. He said, did you know Hillary's running mate was a Jesuit priest? Yeah. I didn't know that. He was a Jesuit order priest of the Catholic Church. I didn't know that. And Hillary's advisor, Uma, that her husband had the emails,
pervert,
and Uma is a Muslim, and her father's a radical. Her family's in a Muslim Brotherhood, and that was Hillary's closest advisor.
Wow.
So maybe the Lord's protecting us for 4 more years. Maybe. 4 more years. And anyway, Revelation 6. Yeah, let's try to win people to Jesus Christ. And try to, you know, do our part. We do our part. He said, occupy till I come. And we're supposed to be occupying and trying to win people to the Lord. And see people saved and try to live for God and encourage the saints to live for God. And we need to encourage one another. Now, we're in the book of Revelation, and we went through a bunch of stuff from chapter 4 or 5. And I believe the rapture takes place in chapter 4, but then we go into the tribulation. And like I said, this is really going to happen. This is called the time of Jacob's trouble. And if you read Nahum, you read Obadiah, you read Zephaniah, you read Zechariah, you read those books, it's all pointing to that time. It all points, the whole Bible is pointing to a time when the Lord's going to come back. In Revelation, when God gave that to John the Beloved, he got the book of Revelation, and man, people read that Bible, they read Revelation, they go, oh my God, that scares me. And people say, well, it cannot be literal. It's got to be figurative. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. That it's already passed. All that stuff has happened. But this is, you go through, when you read in the book of Revelation, you got to remember, you go through the tribulation 3 to 4 times. You go through it 3 to 4 times. And chapter 6 is probably one of the most controversial chapters of Revelation, because you go through from verse 1 to verse 17, you go through the whole tribulation one time, right there. You go through it. And it just dumbfounds you. And that's what this is right here, the four horsemen. And these four horsemen, that's chapter 6. And this guy right here on the white horse, we're going to read, all the commentators say that's Jesus Christ, and it's not. Jesus Christ riding on a white horse, that's for sure. And the devil's always been a great counterfeiter. And he's called the counterfeiter. I mean, he's an angel of light in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he's called the angel of light. And that's why the devil hates you. And that's why Jesus said, you're the light of the world, and let your light so shine before men, they might see the good works of your Father. And why the devil hates you is you took his job. But, we're supposed to bear the light of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to bear the light and tell people about the Lord. People should see something in your life that attracts them. And if they don't see it, then you're not doing your job. They ought to see that you have a peace and a joy and a comfort. And they ought to see that when you're going through troubles. And Christians go through troubles. We sing a lot of our Christian songs about, and we was reading over in Revelation chapter 5 about they sang a new song. A lot of our songs are about trouble, trials that we go through. And we sing them songs, but a lot of them are about just how good God is, Jesus Christ. And that's good, that we ought to be singing songs about him. But, we sing songs about trials and troubles. But this is, I'll tell you one thing, you ought to be thanking God. This is one trouble here in Revelation 6 you'll not face. You might go through a little suffering here in this suffering here. In America, you really don't go through a whole lot. People go through it in different countries. They go through, especially in a Muslim area. We got missionaries, and he just come home from the field for just a furlough, and he's in Indonesia. And Brother Jaggy, he's in Indonesia, putting the word of God out. Any moment, somebody could attack his house and kill him and his wife. And they're trying to reach the Muslims. In the Philippines right now, there's Muslims in the Philippines, and they're killing Christians. And you think, well, whenever they get up and say, they're peace-loving Muslim, I want to see them saved. Every time I see somebody of Asian descent, I go to them. I try to give them a track, witness to them. I want to try to be faithful in doing that. Why? Because the Asian folks need Jesus Christ too. Amen. He didn't come just die for white people.
Amen.
He died for all.
Amen.
And black folks too. And we want to see people saved. And Jesus Christ, we sing the song in Sunday school, red, yellow, black, or white. You're precious in his sight.
Amen.
And we don't care who they are, what they're from. We have the little bus kids coming in. They're precious, man.
Amen.
They're precious little kids. And we want to see them saved. But you think about this. If people are not saved, they're going to go through this mess.
That's right.
And you say you care about people. You say you love people. And you say you believe the Bible. And if you don't put out the word, I try to put out at least 3 tracks a day. At least, at minimum. At 3. And more if I can. But at least we all try to put out 3 tracks a day. Talk to somebody. Give them give you something to read about. Tell you about Jesus. And if you can do that, do you hit your mark every day? Sometimes I stay at home. I don't go nowhere. I'm working on something. I don't get out, but I try to make up. We can try to do that.
Yep.
Now, we say we care about people and all that. If you care about people, you want to see them saved. You want to see your loved ones saved. And you want to see your children, your grandkids. You want to see that your heritage carry on through their kids and that they might love the Lord. Then don't be a hypocrite.
Amen.
Live for God in front of them. Don't be a hypocrite. And like I said, we're all hypocritical in some area of life, but try not to be. Say, Lord, show me. If I'm wrong about something, help me. And it's hard for us to admit when we're wrong. And when your children point out when you're wrong, you ought to say, yeah, you're right.
Amen.
You're right. Instead of selling, oh, shut up. You don't tell me what to do. You don't do that. And in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. And chapter 5, you find the Lamb taking the book. And in chapter 5, the Lamb, look back at chapter 5 and look at verse 11. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's in the millions and millions. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory and blessing. But look back at chapter 5, look at verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne, God the Father, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, talking about John. He said, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, that hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So the Lamb comes up, and the Bible says, verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as had been slain. We know that's Jesus Christ. You say, man, wow, this is wild. Jesus Christ comes up. He's portrayed as a Lamb, but he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He represents even the animals. The Bible tells us, Revelation, that all the creatures listen when he talks, when he says something. In Revelation 6, you'll find all the beasts of the earth listen. And the Bible says in Romans chapter, Romans chapter 8, it says all the creatures are in bondage right now till the manifestation of the sons of God. The animal kingdom is waiting for the Lord to come back. Amen. They're wanting the Lord to come back. And we read over there in Isaiah about how the lamb will lay down with the lion. And you, if you love animals, man, you'd want to see the Lord come back too, because animals won't suffer anymore. Amen. I've got a German shepherd dying right now. His name's Goliath. That dog is faithful, man. He follows me around. If I let him out, he's right on my, he's so close to me. When he walks behind me, he steps on my foot and knocks my shoe off. And he can't get up and walk now. We're feeding him in this doghouse. I prayed over him the other day. I prayed, asked God to have mercy on him, take him out. And it hurts you to see an animal suffer. But what do you think God does? God made him. But you know what? That animal has a soul, but he doesn't have an eternal soul like you have. You and I have an eternal soul. That animal has a spirit. Amen. God made him in threes. And you have a body, soul, and spirit, but God made you like himself. And that you're going to live eternally somewhere. Animals don't. They don't. They just cease to exist. And God made man in his own image. And you got a body, you got a soul, and you got a spirit that's going to live forever somewhere. I've seen people crazy over animals. They go crazy about taking care of animals and loving animals. And my sister, if you would hurt her dog, she'd kill you over her dog. Some people kill you over their animals. I had a guy living behind us. My son-in-law had two dogs we took care of. And it was the Rottweilers. And that Rottweiler went over, and a guy come over, and he was all hyperventilating in my driveway years ago. And he said, your dog tried to bite me. And I said, did it? I said, man, let me see. He didn't bite me. I said, well, if you do, you need to go to the hospital. I'll take you to the hospital. He goes, if he ever comes on my property again, I'm going to shoot him. I said, well, shoot him. I shook his hand. I said, shoot him. He went like, what? I said, yeah, shoot him. Shoot him. I said, I understand that. I understand a dog trying to bite you and on your own property. But, I hate to see animals hurt. I hate to see animals cruelly mistreated. But God does too. And the Bible says this. It says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beasts. He cares about the animal. Look here. Back to Revelation 6. He says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of a thunder. One of the four beasts said, saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. This guy has a bow and a crown that was given to him, and he went and forth conquering and to conquer. Now go to Revelation chapter 19. Look at this guy. Look at another guy on a white horse. It says, this guy has a crown. He has a bow. The guy in Revelation, it says, in Revelation chapter 19, look at verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. The Lord's coming back to fight. Amen. First the rapture take place, then the Lord's going to come back and fight. You think about the Lord fighting. The Bible says in Exodus, John Brown, he quoted that, God is a man of war, which he is, as he went out killing people. But the Lord's going to come back and fight. He's going to come back and fight for a nation of Israel. And the Bible says, faithful and true and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head had many crowns. Not just one crown, many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. And the Bible says he had a sword. A sword coming out of his mouth. It says that he was he's riding on a white horse, got many crowns, and his armies in heaven are following him. Back to Revelation chapter 6. This guy here, death and hell follows him. Death and hell. And look at verse 3. Back up to verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow and a crown given unto him. And he went forth conquering and conquering. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him, and sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And behold, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard the voice of in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And that we'll cover that in a minute. But it says, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name is called, that sat on him was called Death and Hell followed it with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. And think about this. Think about all this. You think about North Korea. You think about Iran. You think about all the Muslim nations that surround Israel. That, you know, all this stuff that's coming. I mean, it wouldn't take much for this to happen. Amen. Wouldn't take much at all. The world is like a powder keg right now, ready to blow up. Now, Donald Trump might be the one to call and push the button, and God have mercy. But this thing here, man, Revelation 6, it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what's coming, the Antichrist, and all that follows him, and death and hell and so on. And the Bible says in verse 7, and he opened the fourth seal, and I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name is called, that sat on him was called Death and Hell, followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword and with hunger. As you read through Revelation, you'll find a third of the sea is going to be wiped out. All the fish of the sea. You're going to find all kinds of stuff happening. Hell on earth, man. And people, man says, this is hell on earth. It's going to be hell on earth. Amen. It's going to be literal hell on earth. And thank God we're not going to be here for that. We can read it in the Word of God. And up in heaven, we can watch it, what's going to happen. And we're when all this stuff is happening, here, right here, we'll be up here. Judgment seat of Christ. We'll be going through the judgment seat of Christ. That's the next thing that we're going to preach on Sunday, the judgment seat of Christ. And then after that, we go through the marriage supper of the Lamb. We get clean, we get washed, and the Lord says he iron out all the wrinkles, everything gets straight at the judgment seat of Christ, and then we go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, there's going to be some people in the mid-tribulation that's going to face some things, but let's finish reading all this. We'll get into all that stuff. And it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Christians kill. People kill for the word of God. Now, that's nothing new. People have been killed throughout the ages for the word of God. Christians have been killed by the Roman Catholic Church, been killed by Muslim, been killed by all kinds of people for different reasons, but for their testimony, being a Christian. I remember Mike Schweitzer gave a testimony. He said he was on an aircraft carrier in the Vietnam War, and he was witnessing a bunch of guys. And he said he was telling them guys were getting saved right and left there on the aircraft carrier in the 1970s. And he said a bunch of guys said they wanted to talk to him. They took him out the back of the aircraft carrier, and he was out there at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And about four or five guys got around him and said, man, we're tired of you running your mouth about the Word of God, telling people they need to get saved. We're tired of all this stuff. And he said they were getting ready to throw him overboard in the back where the screws were and all the propellers. And he said he started praying, God help, God help me, God help me. He said they were serious. They said we're tired of hearing about this stuff. And he got real bold and got in their face and started preaching to them. And they backed up, and then one of the commanders came out and heard it and stopped it. And he was able to get away from it. But he said, man, you wonder, why do people hate the Word of God that much? Why would people hate? You know, when you're preaching on the street or you're preaching, people say, man, they hate it. They hate the Word of God. Why? Because it makes you feel terrible when you know there's something in your life that's not right.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God says, you're wicked. You need to get saved. You're going to hell. And the Word of God will do that to you. But if as a Christian, though, the Word of God, it helps you. It helps you to show you, put light in your life to show you there's things in your life that's not right, that's not pleasing to God, and you'll get that stuff out, and you'll feel clean, you'll feel good. You'll come out of, you know, once you get things right between you and the Lord, you can, man, you feel like you're walking on cloud nine.
Yeah.
It says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, I believe this. Brother, my son-in-law, because Ken was teaching class, and my son-in-law said that he brought up to Ken and said, you know, Revelation 11, Moses, Elijah gets killed. 144,000 get killed, and they get killed. And you say, how do they get killed? We believe, according to the Word of God, we believe they get their heads cut off. And, you know, Goliath got his head cut off, and back in those days, they would cut men's head off. And you see all the gory movies, you know, of any kind of war, Europe between Europe and Asians and all that, they would cut each other's heads off and all that stuff. And Jehu said this. He said, bring 70 heads, and they brought them and stacked them up. And but take your Bible, look in Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Yeah. Revelation 11. Yeah, and whenever the Muslims killed the Christians on TV, they would cut their heads off. They sliced their throat and then cut their heads off. Now, Moses, Elijah ends up dying. They come back, according to the Word of God. Moses, Elijah comes back, and they have power. At verse 3, I'll give power unto my two witnesses. They are two witnesses during this time period, this seven-year period. And they prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. But Moses and Elijah, they don't play around. Anybody tries to hurt them, they'll hurt them. And fire comes out of their mouth. I mean, all kinds of stuff comes out. You talking about, brother, you couldn't make a movie this good. And these are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before the God of all the earth. And isn't it funny that Hollywood comes out with all these movies, they can't think of anything else, but they go to the Bible and they get a basis from the Bible.
Right.
And they make these movies. And they'll try to make more movies about according to the Word of God. They've got this guy, Lone Survivor, you know, about the Washington getting blown up and all that. And they got just so many different things that they come out with, you know, the Armageddon and all kinds of movies they come up with talking about the end time and something's happening, going to happen. But look at here. The two olive trees, which is, the Bible tells you in Zechariah who they are, or it gives you a description of who they are. And these are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before the God of all the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. The Word of God is a fire. The Word of God is a fire. And it says, and then you think about the Lord, when the Lord just consumes, the Bible says he's going to consume them with the word of his mouth. It's fire proceeding out. And it says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. You know, do unto others as others would have do unto you. These have power to shut heaven. It kind of gives you a description of who they are, Moses and Elijah. That it rained not in the days of their prophecy. They have power over waters to turn them to blood. Moses did that. Elijah shut the heaven. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that descended out of the bottomless pit shall make war with them, against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. We know that's Jerusalem, where also our Lord was crucified. It kind of, P.S., is where Jesus died. And it says, and they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. So how did they torment them? They preached.
Amen.
So what did they preach? According to Matthew, they preached, the kingdom come, thy will be done. The Lord God is coming. and he's going to destroy this place if you don't get right. And Jonah had a great privilege and great honor. He's the guy in the Bible that's seen the best revival that is recorded in the Word of God and with the Ninevites. And Jonah goes and preaches after he's been three days in Whale University. He was in, and after, you know, he goes to Whale University for 3 days and three nights. He gets spewed out on the shore, and he goes into town within a day, which is a 3 days journey, and preaches and sees one of the greatest revivals anybody ever seen in the Bible. And the guy gets mad. He gets mad over it. And now it says, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life, verse 11, from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. I guess so. If they didn't have a head, the headless horsemen. So how do you know they're going to get their heads cut off? Well, look in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. No, it's not there. 20, oh yeah, there it is. 20 verse 4. 20 verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls. See that thing? Souls. People have souls. They're going to live forever somewhere. Souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which worship, that have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So then you go into chapter 20. It talks about the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, so on. So anyway, we believe that they're going to get their heads cut off. That's how they're going to die. And that's how Christians are going to be, are people that believe in the Lord is going to die. You got the 144,000 in chapter 7. Now, go with me back to Revelation 6, and we'll have to stop here. If you have any questions, just raise your hand. And it says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, verse 10, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? These are people that were killed in the tribulation period, and then the people standing before God and before the throne, they said, how long are you going to wait? Are you going to avenge us? And God does. He avenges them. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. That's why if somebody does you wrong, the Bible says, be good to them. Yeah. Be good to them. It says it heaps coals of fire on their head. Yeah. You just treat them right. Just do right. You be a Christian, even if they're not. Even if they don't act like it, if they say they are, you be a Christian.
Amen.
Yeah.
You don't have to cuss them out.
Yeah.
Go crazy, act like a fool. Yeah, the Lord take care.
Amen.
Yeah. He knows when you're doing right.
Yeah.
And look at this, verse 10. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them, you say, are we in that crowd? Are we there? Nope. That's not us. We're not there. We're going in chapter 4. And this is people going through the tribulation period. It says, white robes were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So in the tribulation period, if you receive the mark of the beast in your right hand or your forehead, they've already got the technology for it. If you receive it, then you're damned. If you don't, then you can't buy or sell. You've never noticed it. Now they've got the chip in your card. But people can still steal it. They want to put the chip here or here. Right hand. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. They've already got the technology. They said there's experiment with already little towns. Experiment with it. You can do it with your phone. Jesse was telling the girl at Chick-fil-A tonight. He goes, I like doing it with my phone or with my watch. My iPhone watch. So I was mocking him, making fun of that. But anyway, let's stop right there. Any questions? Anything? Any questions? Yeah. Oh, there's nothing wrong with the chip. Nothing wrong. Don't think that. I mean, I got chips in the cards and all that. But they're trying to figure out a way. Here's what the government's trying to do. They're trying to figure out a way to keep people from getting, identity theft. People are being, millions and millions of dollars being stolen. By the IRS. I was reading where now we've come to be in America. We've come to be about 75 to 80% cashless society, maybe more. I watch old people. When I go to restaurants, I find a restaurant. I go, you know what my old folks do? They get their cash, and they put cash out. Why? They don't trust them cards. They don't trust the machines. They think them young people go back there and slice their card and get their numbers, and then they probably had it happen to them. So they use cash. And they're in a way, they're smart. But see, the government wants to do away with the cash. And that way, you do away with cash, and then you get cards or whatever, everything is a cashless society, you can keep track of the money better or the transactions. Nobody can cheat on their taxes. When you get cash, most of the time, you won't turn it in on your taxes. So they're trying to do away with that. And then, like I told you, Obamacare turned the insurance penalty thing with the IRS. So I told you last year I had to pay double for not paying, having insurance. So this year I'll have to pay double of what I paid last year, which is $600 some. So I have to pay that double. You say, I say it's cheaper than having $800 insurance policy. But what happens if we need it? Then we're in the fix. We're going to try to get some kind of insurance. But they want, and then trusting the IRS to take care of that. My Lord. And so that's how corrupt and everything's been. It's just corrupt. And isn't it funny that they penalize you for not having insurance? Most of the time people don't have insurance because they can't afford it. But they penalize you anyway. Yeah. No, we won't be here. No, I've been in a tribulation. It has to be a willing thing because it says after 3.5 years after he comes back from the dead, then it's going to be mandatory. It's going to be mandatory. First 3.5 years, this is like seatbelts, you know. It's not mandatory. You ain't going to get a ticket for it. But then the second, right here, see that? Right there, then it gets mandatory. You better take it or go to jail. And then if you go to trial and they say you refuse still, you die. No, just that's what the Antichrist is going to do. And it won't be without reason. You can't figure it out. It's just, that's why the Bible says the souls of them that were beheaded and it says they're going to die the same way they died. And they want all the world to be on one economy and all the world be under United Nations with the Antichrist. So if you read Daniel, we go through Daniel, if I had time, you go through Daniel, and Daniel talks about that thing where the Antichrist be able to take the whole world one shot. And what we read in Revelation 6, it says that guy riding on a white horse, he has a bow, but no arrows. So he takes the kingdom without even firing a shot. He uses his mouth. And the Bible tells us in Daniel, just like when Obama became president, everybody thought, he's such a great, great guy. What did he do? What did he do? He was a community organizer. But he could talk. He knew how to talk. If a guy knows, I think Trump, only thing he knows how to do, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be great. I'm going to do it. I got it. You know, and it's. Yeah. Not yet.
If Obama
lets it. Yeah, if Obama lets it. But That's right.
Well,
we can be cautious. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All right. We'll take a prayer request. Anybody got, Josh, got a question?
No.
Prayer request.